Well, I would ask that you stand as I read our passage for tonight, Matthew 1:18-25, which is our meditation for the evening. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated is God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The title of this meditation is God With Us Saves. Please be seated. Joseph was, to put it in modern terms, conflicted. We know all about that, being of two minds about something. And normally, whenever being of two minds about something, we wind up doing nothing at all, one of my favorite pastimes. But when I'm conflicted about something, that makes it easier. So until something in a situation changes in which we are no longer conflicted, and then we are able to move. And as we see in the first few verses, that was what was going on with Joseph. He had good reason to be conflicted. Now, on the one hand, he was engaged or betrothed to this woman, Mary. She had a sterling reputation. She was very devout, and he had been pleased and honored to pursue a marriage contract with her. But then, before the actual marriage takes place, she proves to be pregnant. She was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, we see here that Joseph at the time did not know it was of the Holy Spirit, because that's what the angel tells him. But he was a just man, and he did not want to publicly humiliate Mary. In such a situation, a woman who was put away by her husband would be branded as not a very nice woman, to say the least, and she might not even be welcomed back to her family. And she certainly would not be able to find another husband. So Joseph's heart, though, didn't want to do that. And so he's here saying, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I don't want to hurt this woman. I don't want to put her into shame. And yet she's pregnant. So Joseph's mind got made up for him in a big way. An angel of the Lord appears to him. And we're not told his name. In Luke's account, when the angel appears to Mary, we are told his name. But Matthew's gospel doesn't dwell all that much on things like angels' names. No matter whatever his name was, the angel spoke, and that gets our attention, I'm sure, and it got Joseph's attention too. Joseph was awake when he awakened, knew what he had to do. He took Mary as his wife, and when the baby was born, Joseph named him Jesus. Now that's Joseph naming him. And it appears that Joseph raised him as his own, in his own family, in the honored position of the firstborn son. And what should we take from this story? Well, what was important to the angel was Jesus' divinity. Listen to what the angel says. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is in her is conceived of the Holy Spirit. And then, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated is God with us. The angel here is emphasizing Jesus' deity. And I think this is one place where many people in modern times maybe drift away from what Christmas really means. It's probably been that way for centuries. The focus is more on the humanity of Jesus as a baby than his divinity. We sing, we get sentimental about him. There's nothing wrong with songs like Away in the Manger. But when we look at that, what we're thinking about is the little human baby. Our major response when we see this is, "Aw, ain't he cute?" And there's a place for that. But brothers and sisters, he is human. That's true. But we must understand his humanity differently. This baby boy, cute as he is God. It's not that he's also God, as if his divinity is somehow another separate, and that he's kind of, you know, sometimes he's God and sometimes he's man. That's not the case. He is God in his essence, even as he is human in his essence. He was and is human in that he was born of a woman, a virgin. But brothers and sisters, he was God in that he had the Holy Spirit's DNA, if you will, in him. That was incorporated into his being. Everything that God is, Jesus is. He is the fullness of the Godhead incorporated into human form. He is truly God with us. Now, it's hard for us to, you know, bring that into focus because we're separated from God the Father because he is a spirit. God is spirit. And in spirit, he doesn't dwell in space and time. And so therefore, we have difficulty feeling and understanding how he is. But brothers and sisters, with Jesus, God came into time and space. He was not confined to the created order beforehand. He, like his Father, was transcendent. He was beyond the created order. But even as transcendent God, he humiliated himself to become like other creatures, particularly like and was human being. Jesus, born of a woman, does live within the created order as a human. Even now, as he transcends the created order as God and the Son of God, and we don't know how that works. It's foolish to even speculate it. But I don't have to know how it works. All I have to know is it's true. And that's what you need to know also. What is wonderful is that by humiliating himself to be born of a woman, the Christ took on flesh so that he could be God with us. Now nail that down. There is the wonder of Christmas. God's love is so great for us that he sent his Son so that common mortal men could touch his flesh. They could see his eyes. They could hear his words. Now that's the whole point of it, to make it possible for God to be with us. John the Apostle was absolutely blown away with this. In 1 John 1:1, he starts off this way, "That which was from the beginning, that which was before creation, which we have heard," he spoke, we heard him, "which we have seen with our eyes," I saw him, "which we have looked upon, our hands have handled," I touched him, "concerning the word of life." You can almost feel the excitement in those words. John is saying, brothers, sisters, I heard him talk. I saw him with my eyes. I touched him. Now, who am I talking about? I'm talking about the word of life, the Logos. He who was from the beginning of all things and was the cause of all things. He who is the purpose for which this whole created order and every one of us sitting in this room was brought into being. He is the one for whom that was done. He was the Word with all the power and authority. The power that was unleashed when God spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Word itself had the authority and power to bring things into being, and that Word was distilled into a baby. Brothers and sisters, this is the meaning of Christmas. The eternal God became man to be with us. He may save us. He came to do this so that he may save us. And I will close with this. Matthew's account was written mostly for Jewish readers, and so it's spoken to Joseph as the head of the household of this child, Jesus. And the word Jesus in the Old Testament, from the Hebrew in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament with the Yesu, means basically to save. So everything about Jesus, his humanity, his divinity, his virgin birth, all of it is part of God's big plan. And it's all directed towards one thing. For each and every one of us here tonight who profess to be Christian, and who earnestly seek after God and his Christ, it means that we are those for whom he was born and came to save. That makes it very personal. It should make it very personal to each of us. You see, we're here in this Bible story. It's not something we're reading about what happened way back then. Yes, it is that. But it's not as if it's some distant story that has no bearing upon our lives. Brothers and sisters, we're here. He came to save his people. That's what the angel said. And you're part of his people. Brothers and sisters, can you see it? Can you be astonished at it? There was never a time. There was never a time when you and I were not included in God's plan. And here in this story, we see Jesus being born as a human, though he is truly God, to save us. To save us from what? The angel tells us, from our sins. People don't like to talk much about sin these days, but that doesn't mean it's gone away. But people don't like it because it always involves something like judgment. Brothers and sisters, that's not how God views things. God talks more about sin than we might want. The fact of the matter is that all pain and suffering in this world is directly due to sin. And when our Lord came back, or came into this world to save us, he came to save us not only from the guilt of sin, which is our actions that have brought about guilt, or the shame of sin, that which invests us and causes us, like Adam and Eve, to run from God's presence because we are there. But he came back to save us from the corruption of sin, which makes us unable to do anything righteous or good. Jesus came back to change that. Jesus came into this world. The Christ came into this world as the baby Jesus to save us from that. Not just save us in the future, he's going to do that too, but to save us now so that we may have a changed life, a life in which we are able to live in holiness and peace before him. That's what Jesus came to do. The great truth that is inherent in this story is that this little baby born of a woman, begotten by God, is the one who came to save us. By being born a human, he could suffer the penalty of sin in our place. He was without sin himself. The justice of God that righteously punishes sin could therefore be directed at him in our stead. And by being begotten of God and being truly God, as I insisted in the first point, being God with us, because he was God, he had the capacity to stand up under God's wrath, God the Father's wrath, at your and my sin. He did what no ordinary human could do. That's the reason why Christmas is good news. Because this baby came to save us from our sins. And he did it. As we leave this building tonight, we're going to be lighting candles and singing Silent Night. And what I sincerely hope, that as we are singing that beloved old carol, that may the joy of this season truly invade our hearts. Let it be a very solemn joy, a joy of astonishment. For we have been saved from our sin by a baby who was in one person, both God and man. And let us give thanks for what this season really means. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that you sent your angel to say those things to Joseph so many years ago. And I ask our Lord and God that you will bless us to the understanding of it as we turn now to sing this carol and to sing about that silent night, holy night, in which you were born. In Christ's name, amen.